All right, it is Thursday morning. Keith Klein and Sue Wanzer both serve on the MCCSE School Board and join us every Thursday morning to talk about local education issues affecting our community. Sue, good morning. How are you? Are you feeling better this Thursday?
You know, I'm feeling better than last week, but I might start coughing, so if you guys have to cut me off, I totally understand.
I think if you know if you can't make it, you just run to that hang-up button and hit it and run for it. We don't want what you have. We hope you're feeling better. We don't want this to linger throughout the entire calendar year. But did you get through the meeting on Tuesday night? Did you reorganize properly?
I was at the meeting on Tuesday night. It was our annual reorganization meeting, which by law we have to do every January. And during the reorganization meeting, we elect our officers and we appoint many positions within the school corporation.
We also had to be sworn in for the new people to start off the new term.
You swear at the new people?
Well, we take an oath.
Yes, you do.
Or an oath.
How many new people do you have?
Four.
Wow.
Four. One actual new one.
Kathy
Fuentes Roar.
Fuentes Roar, excuse me.
And then Lois Sable Skelton. Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein, incumbents, reelected.
There you go. You're in it. So who is El Presidente?
Martha Street.
Well, Martha Street will be president again, and vice president will be Lois Sable Skelton again, and Janine Butler, secretary, and Kelly Smith as assistant secretary.
Well, there you go. So all the positions are filled up and ready to go, and now you've done that by law, and you will have a regular meeting then coming up on the
24th.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
24th.
Sounds good. And as go ahead, Sue.
Well, the other thing we did is we have to appoint different people to different positions. For instance, for anyone who thinks there isn't a lot of litigation in education, we had to appoint three lawyers to represent us. We have an attorney who is a school corporation attorney who we appointed, which is Louis Thumbunger, and he has been doing this for us for years. We have a labor negotiation attorney who is Chuck Rubright out of Indianapolis. And then we have a special education attorney who represents us on issues involving special ed. So, you know, obviously because it's like any other government entity, taxing entity, taxpayers being concerned about things, we do need to have that coverage. But I remember the first time I was on the school board and realized how many attorneys we had to have. It's kind of mind-blowing.
So you haven't added any. You were just appointing. These aren't extra positions that are newly created because of something that's been going on or happening.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right.
So people...
And these are attorneys we've used in the past. We just have to make it official that we are appointing them to those positions so that we can retain them for the school year.
Transparency, transparency, transparency. Got to have.
Yeah, there's a lot of this that was technical, like Tim Thrasher is going to be our treasurer. Barbara Buckner is going to be our assistant treasurer.
Tim Thrasher should be the treasurer. Yeah. Yes.
And you
be.
Go through all of these things for these appointments. We appoint two people to the library board. Those kinds of things. It's all done as part of the reorganization. And even if some of these people are remaining in those positions, you still have to do it every year.
And it's interesting as well because the school year starts in August, so you're in the middle of the school year doing a reorganization because it is it's a nonpartisan, but it is political, kind of.
Right, and it follows the election process.
Right.
Right.
Right. And you're right. It's a weird thing that we run on a calendar year in so many things, yet our academic year is August until May. So sometimes that makes things just a little bit difficult to figure out, especially when it comes to money and things like that, which is why I don't do the money, and we're happy that
Tim Thrasher does. That's exactly right. And whatever Tim would like to do, let's just follow what he seems to be the grand poobah that follows all this. Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein are our guests this morning. We're talking about MCCSC, the school board, obviously reorganization meeting. All that is done and up and running now. And here we are in a brand new year. And we tried to talk about this a little bit last week, Sue, but we've got new people in Indianapolis to a degree. We've got some new ideas. We've got a new governor who really hasn't been in the world of office in politics. He's been with the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. He was a lieutenant governor for a little bit. We see some of his issues moving forward. He's talking about pre-K education and things of the such. Have you heard anything you're happy about to get things started here in 2017?
Well, Well, it doesn't seem, and we have talked about the importance of pre-K for years in MPCSC, and we are so fortunate, once again, to be in this community. The Community Foundation and Tina Peterson as the CEO have been very generous with us with some grants to help us start pre-K programs in different schools. What would be really great, because it's not just about us, it's about all the kids in the state. It would be really great if we had state money for pre-K, because there is so much research that shows kids who attend pre-K programs do so much better later on, especially our children who are in need and in poverty, and that can really be helpful. But it doesn't sound like the state wants to talk about that, about funding that. But maybe as we go forward, we can try to influence some of that. Which brings up another point, Glass, is that on February 7th, we're going to have a community conversation with our local legislators. And so those folks will be here, and that certainly is one of the questions that I hope that is brought up, is what are their thoughts about pre-K education, and is there funding available for that?
And you hope the answer is yes, and it'll be interesting to see what the legislation puts, or legislators put together in that, to see if they can make that happen. The other thing that's brewing around in Indianapolis is still the wonderful world of I-STEP testing.
Oh, get me started on that one, because the interesting thing is...
I just like to get Keith wound up
about
this.
Well, because there was an announcement from the legislature that we're going to continue with the current I-STEP test for another year, because the one we have is deeply flawed. But rather than rush into a new one, we'll keep the one that we're admittedly now saying it's flawed. We're going to keep it another year while we spend more time. Now, remember, a year ago we talked about getting a new I-STEP test?
Sure.
We don't have it, and so we're going to keep what we have another year.
You know, Glass, I was afraid you were going to bring that up, and I'm just waiting for Keith's head to explode.
Yeah.
This isn't a good Keith, but he's right. Why do tests that everybody says is no good? But we don't have anything else, so we're going to use it. And Keith and I were talking before we went on the air. It seems like there is some kind of mentality that says to these folks, we can't go a year without testing. And we can. Why couldn't we skip a year? Because we don't have an adequate test until we get one that is adequate. Because, first of all, to administer the test, it's a high-stakes test, brings a lot of stress and pressure to families and teachers. It takes time out of the teaching and learning that happens in classes, because we're doing everything for the test, and it's expensive. So why don't we skip a year and save all of that effort and that worry and that time and the money?
Because they want you to keep in the rhythm and the practice of getting ready for it, and how much of it is going to affect your day. Then I don't know, Sue. That would be my short answer, but what's the contract situation? Are they required to give a test, whether it's bad or good or indifferent?
Well, it comes from the State Board of Education. What the interesting thing, too, is that the new Department of Education head is saying she doesn't think it's a good idea to tie teacher salaries to the results of that test, this is one of the things you're going to do, is you're going to use the test scores to determine, you know, your better teachers, and then reward them. And now she says, I don't think that's a good idea. So
it's interesting. There's no doubt about any of that stuff. And if you, so what do you do, Sue? You just take the bad test over again, right?
Well, you're right. Well, what do we do? As Keith has talked about a lot, we have really, really lost local control. What do we do? We have to do what the state says. So we'll do it the best we can. We know we've got a great school corporation. I wish for the sake of kids and parents and teachers that we didn't have to go through this, but we'll do it the best we can, and as we do always, and we'll try to make it as easy and as smooth for all of our kids and teachers as we can.
An Indianapolis Star article, IndyStar.com, from Chelsea Schneider. The number of Indiana school districts earning the highest rating fell in the new A to F accountability grades released yesterday, with the majority of school districts receiving a B from the state's rating system. About 8% of the school districts earned an A during the 15-16 school year. That represents a sharp decline from the previous school year, when about half of the school districts earned an A rating. However, those grades were artificially high because they couldn't drop after lawmakers gave schools relief for the first year of the new rigorous I-STEP test. When comparing against the real grades, the decline was less drastic. That's what an analysis of the data showed. In the newly released grades, about 60% of the school districts earned a B, 29% C, 2% D, and only one school corporation, Gary Community Schools, received the state's lowest rating of an F there. So what does it all mean? Well, if the test is goofy and the ratings are goofy and everything's goofy, Keith, help me out.
Well, let me ask you a rhetorical question. You heard what you just read.
Correct.
Now, imagine what we're going to do. We're going to keep the test we have for another year. Then we're going to have a new test. What are we going to compare that to?
And
are we going to end up with what you just read? Because we compare it to the previous test, and the grades change so radically that, well, maybe we ought not to pay attention to what the grades are.
Look what my left hand is doing, so you can't possibly see what my right hand is up to.
Yeah.
And Glass, you made a really good point. So what does this all mean? I don't know that anybody really does know what that means. I don't know what the general public thinks. You know, so now we have a whole lot of B schools. Okay, great. I don't know that anybody really buys into the fact that this is an accurate way to measure schools, because they'll look at their own school and think it's wonderful and great because their kid is getting a great education and they love their teacher, and if their school gets a B or a C, that means nothing to them because they believe they have an A school. And it's just crazy that we grade schools based on English language and on math. And there's all the arts and extracurricular and sports and music and theater and science and clubs that we don't even weigh in there.
Well, but Sue, there is another aspect to this, and that is that people want to move into a community where they have A schools, whatever the A means. And so
A
real
is
estate,
than B.
That's right, real estate and companies that want to move their location, they're going to look at what kind of grades do the schools get, you know, and artificial. Albeit, the issue is it's out there, and people look at that and make decisions based on it.
I think some of them do, Keith. I think some of them, I saw a post on a blog talking about the best way to choose a school is for parents to go. It was somebody locally wanting to know where to move to and just go visit the different schools. And no one said anything about grades or anything else. They talked about the atmosphere for the kids, how the kids felt in school, and that it's really important for parents to visit prospective schools. And I think that's a great idea.
Here's another one. The House Education Policy Leader, same article, Chelsea Schneider, IndyStar.com. Robert Behning, who is a Republican in Indianapolis, is proposing the state replace I-STEP with a test called I-Learn, Indiana's Learning Evaluation Assessment Readiness Network. The new test would begin in 1819, and delaying the repeal of the I-STEP by a year from the original timeline. To meet federal requirements, as Sue, you were mentioning, students would be tested in English, language arts, and math in grades 3 through 8, and at least once in high school, science would be tested in certain grades. The reason I brought that up is because there are two words in there that I think everybody has to remember, federal requirements. Right. So no matter what the state wants to do, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yep.
And again, I think that's something that, you know, and obviously a whole lot of this is involved with money. State constitutions say that the states are responsible for public education. There's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that talks about education. But now we have a Department of Education federally, and there's money attached to it. And so when you have the money attached to it, you feel like you kind of have to go along with it. But I wish that states would stand up to the federal department and ask that states be allowed to control education the way our Constitution says.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein are our guests this morning. They both serve on the MCCSC school board. The story goes on to say, now a Republican senator wants the state to offer schools relief from consequences tied through the A to F grades for 3 years. This would be Senate Bill 311, would bar the ratings from lowering as the state works to identify a replacement for the I-STEP. That proposal by Senator Phil Boots, Republican from Crawfordsville, would also restrict test scores from negatively influencing a teacher's evaluation during that time.
What's why have a test then?
Well, that's at least there's movement in that direction, right, where someone is saying, hey, for a 3-year moratorium on this, mm-hmm, to figure out what's going to be going on there. Some lawmakers have said, and this is where I was going with this, the state no longer has the flexibility from the federal government to offer that type of relief. So, mm-hmm, it is something we have to figure out, it looks like, from a federal level as well, to make sure you're getting your funding, because it'd be great to scrap the test and try to figure out something there. But if the federal government tells you, well, your hands are tied for that, that's the tough part.
Historically, right, you know the term Common Core. That's what the federal government was. And so Indiana, you know, played off that with I-STEP. So there you go.
Well, Glass, I'm glad you're bringing all this up because, like I said, on February 7th, we've invited local legislators to come talk about everything that's going on in the legislature. So hopefully they will be able to talk about these bills, talk about I-STEP, talk about pre-K, and this will just be a great opportunity for folks to come hear our local legislators.
All right, good job as always, and we'll talk more about that as we get closer to February. And also in February, I-STEP testing begins, it says here in the article. I'll post this article, too, to our Facebook page, Sue, from theindystar.com. So if anybody's wondering where the source or content information came from, no problem. We'll have that up there, and then folks can take a look at it. We appreciate your time. Good job not coughing this morning. We hope you feel better.
I made it through, didn't I? Yay for me.
And we want you healthy, too, because it's Girl Scout cookie season, and nobody wants to be sick during Girl Scout cookie season.
No, you're right. I got to get Girl Scout cookies.
I can help you with that. I know a guy.
He knows a salesperson.
That's right. Thanks, Sue. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week. Sue Wanzer, Keith Klein, both serve on the MCCSE school board, and join us every Thursday morning to talk local education issues as well. And again, it's legal wrangling to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
It is
posturing, federal, is what they call it sometimes.
Federal money versus states' rights and all that fun stuff. And again, with the legislative session going through April, there's time to.
Right. This is the budget year.
This is going to start brewing, and things will be happening. So we'll make sure we pay attention to all of that for you.